Welcome to the C Word, the Conservative Podcast. Today we're talking about Christmas. I'm Jenna Mathiason, an Objects Conservative based in Carmarthen in Wales.
I'm Chloe Rumsey, an Objects Conservative based in Manchester in England.
I'm Solange Basher, a Book Conservator in Sheffield, England.
I'm Liz Hebert, a Paintings Conservator in Amsterdam in the Netherlands.
And I'm Frederica Majermu, a Conservator of Antiquities based in Nicosia, Cyprus.
Yay!
Oh, happy holidays, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
We're very merry.
We're, yes. I mean, is anyone actually drinking?
Oh, no. I had Baileys, but then I didn't actually bring the glass with me because I decided I wanted ginger tea.
I suppose they don't mix very well.
I sort of started the Baileys and I was like, it's a bit early.
It is. I mean, it is 22 minutes past one in the afternoon.
Yeah. It's a little bit earlier than they may be, but
A little bit. I know in the past I've had a sort of comedy, you know, sherry glass, sherry bottle popping sound. Yes. I do not have one of those today. And because I'm actually in work, I'm taking a break from work in order to record. And I thought, what else can I bring along that makes a sort of comedy sound? And the only thing I could think of was a solvent pump bottle. And I decided not to do that.
You want to be drinking your drinks.
I decided not to do that. No, it isn't.
Nope.
It isn't. I've not got anything else.
I'm wearing a Santa hat and I'm wearing a Christmas jumper.
Does it say on it?
Slay the Patriarchy.
I bought that the other day.
It's a bit difficult to appreciate, but yeah.
Yes.
And it's purple, which is nice, which I appreciate.
And it's the perfect jumper.
It is.
Brilliant.
Are we all feeling ready for Christmas?
Spirited.
No,
we were just talking about Christmas yesterday.
Slightly panicked faces around the room. It's going to be okay.
I almost ruined Christmas for my children yesterday.
No, you didn't.
What did you do?
We have a pocket advent calendar, so you put something in it each day. I got puzzles, and then I calculated how many pieces there are divided by 24.
Mm-hmm.
So then each day, so I broke the puzzle into like those sections. So each day they get to build a puzzle, bit of the puzzle. And the idea is that the elves sneak in and deliver them. Lyra has had correspondence with the elves. Like she's left letters for them and they've replied.
Wow.
And then the other day I was talking to my parents and I was like, this year I've been doing puzzles in the advent calendar. And Lyra went, what? You mean the elves have?
How did you cover?
I covered by saying that, well, so because last year they got chocolates, but we decided we didn't want to keep pumping them full of sweets. So my husband said that he's had a word with the elves and asked them to bring something that isn't sweets.
Mm.
So I said, well, you know, during that conversation with the elves, I said, how about puzzle pieces? So that's why I said I have done puzzle pieces.
Very good.
Very long-winded explanation, and she lost interest by the end. So hopefully she wasn't too traumatized.
That's all that matters. Wait, I have a very important logistical question. If you're doing puzzle pieces, did you have to make the puzzle first?
I did.
And then split it down? Yes.
I had a very nice evening building puzzles because I had to do... Yeah, it's nice. Do you guys like puzzles? Because I feel like as an activity, it's quite similar to conservation.
Mm-hmm.
I get tunnel vision.
I'm annoyed at puzzles. I think I do them at work, but I'm not interested in doing them for recreational fun.
My favorite type of textiles conservation is when there's just loads of bits of an object and people are like, we have no idea where they go. And I'm like, stand back.
Oh, yeah.
I will stare at this for 12 hours without stopping. Yeah. And then there will be a complete object by the end of it. I love it.
I think puzzles are very much like a holiday activity for me. It's not something that I do regularly during the year, but it's a great way to, like, you know, dissociate while you're home for the holidays.
Yes, it's a good way to be present without being present.
So for our Christmas party this year, what do we have in store for us? I believe there's a quiz master.
Yes, I didn't have time to make a quiz. I also thought that it would be sort of tricky in the podcast format to do a quiz because you'd have to give the answer right away, really. Otherwise, you'd have to... Anyway, listeners would have to stop and write down their answers. And but it would, that could have been nice. But then I thought, I saw a pack of cards, like a card game that said impossible questions. And I thought we could do sort of Christmassy, conservation-y themed impossible questions where we all answer the question.
Oh my God.
So this is the first question, and I'm actually relying on Chloe to have come up with the rest of them because you said that you've come up with a lot. Would you rather, as a conservator, would you rather have the ability to see through objects or be able to control water with your mind?
Ooh.
Definitely the water.
Oh no, I'm all about seeing through objects.
Really?
Yeah, I want to see.
Okay, I mean, I work with lots of flat things.
Yeah, I was going to say, that's less useful for you.
I have flat things. Wait, do I get like X-ray vision? Can I see through the painting in different...
Yeah, so you could choose what you can see through.
Okay.
I suppose it wouldn't work if... Yeah, yeah.
I'd like CT scan eyes, please.
Yeah, there you go. XRF.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'd like to see where salts are within the pores.
Ooh. Mm.
So then I can target my treatment.
Imagine this. You walk into your store. You know that the RH in the room has gone up significantly over the weekend. You've only just got the alarm. Yeah. You walk into the store and you see water falling from the ceiling. Imagine just being able to go, cease. and then it just stops and then lifts away from the objects in a gentle way and in exactly the way that you need it to because you are controlling it with your mind.
Yeah, see, for me, like being able to introduce moisture as a vapor.
Yeah, I mean, that is, that's the obvious, much more like day-to-day useful. But I went to immediately to disaster.
Disaster, how do I mitigate that?
The apocalyptic aspect was great. I'm going with the CT scan eyes.
Yeah, to be able to just walk through a museum and be able to look at the paintings out of just for pleasure. Just to know all of the stuff that I want.
Recreational scanning eyes. I love
it. Very recreational, yeah.
I love it.
That's
although
true.
It would also come in very handy as a private conservator because then I don't need to hire somebody or figure out a contact in order to do any of that. Although I wouldn't have any evidence, would I? I couldn't use it in my documentation.
No.
That's true.
How did you know that? I'm psychic. I could be the psychic conservator.
Question. Does this relate also to archaeological sites? Like, could you walk around...
Large scale?
In Egypt, exactly, and just look around you...
I think yes.
...and be like, yes, there's a tomb undiscovered over there.
Yes.
Ooh, yeah, how far can your vision go?
Now we're in depth penetration here. This is a lot.
It's interesting, because I suppose with water as well, you need a limit on it as well.
So that you can't control the entire ecosystem of the earth.
Yeah,
and people.
Exactly. Yeah. You only have an effective radius of about 2 meters.
Yeah, no bloodbending.
Just thinking about bloodbending. I didn't want to say it. if anyone hasn't seen The Last Airbender, you should. It's really, really, really silly. Does anyone else have a would you rather?
I tried to I've got one.
Would you rather be able to prevent mold or prevent UV damage?
Oh, that's a good one.
Mold.
If you only could have one superpower.
UV damage. because then you can display things in beautiful mm-hmm. sunlight without them fading.
Mm-hmm.
Just control it. Whereas mold,
you still get light damage, fire. Just got UV damage.
You can. Hey, if you could control water with your mind, you could also control mold. Mm-hmm. Mold.
That's true.
Yeah,
I'd say mold because I deal with very dark storage rooms. Dark and damp storage rooms.
Yeah, mold is annoying.
Yeah,
no.
I'm definitely gonna go with mold just because it seems more insidious.
Okay,
dangerous.
I'm still going with UV.
Okay.
That makes sense for paper though.
Yeah.
Although I do like the workaround of using facsimiles.
Would you rather use glitter glue for all of your projects or have to use duct tape for a year?
Oh, what a good one. You should see our faces.
Yeah.
I'm so offended.
It's just a fabulous question. I mean, I love duct tape in my personal life. Sure. Like, because basically
that's not a frightening thing to admit to at all.
And this is far more innocent than that sounds, because my kids, like, they love making things out of cardboard boxes. Duct tape is amazing for like taping things to other things and like fixing toys. The batteries fall out, duct tape them on, you know. It's just that and super glue.
But doesn't it leave a residue more than other tapes?
If you can get it off.
Yeah.
It's not good, yeah.
There you go.
I'm going to go with tape just because nothing here specified that I had to use it on everything I work on, just that I have to use that for a year, which is fine. I can live with that, but I can't do glue on all my things. I'm not doing it.
That's a cheeky answer.
Yeah. It's a true answer. I'm lawyering this.
I want tape. I'm going on sabbatical. Goodbye.
Well, I had a glitter experience in the lab before, so it was pretty horrifying. But basically, at our last Christmas party, we did a Secret Santa, and the bag where my gift was placed was full of glitter. And we were in the kitchen. We were not in the lab, but somehow some of that glitter got transferred in the lab. I was finding glitter on my desk for a while, obviously removing it as soon as possible. But yeah, that was not fun.
in my previous workplace, this was referred to as glitter herpes.
Yes.
It's one of the reasons we weren't allowed in the display cases.
It makes complete sense. I would not recommend it. Yeah, please, Christmas parties near the labs. Make sure your bags are glitter-free.
Are we ready for another one?
Yes, we're ready.
Would you rather have the ability to disappear adhesive tape and its
residue?
Adhesive.
That sounds like a real word.
You deliver it with confidence and people will believe you. Would you rather have the ability to disappear adhesive tape and adhesive residue, or the ability to make a wheat starch paste that never goes off?
Oh, adhesive tape.
Yeah, definitely adhesive.
That just came to me so easily.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't.
Okay. I'm gonna go tape too. Yeah.
Well, if I never had to make wheat starch paste again, that would make me sad.
Oh my god, nerd. That's the sweetest.
That was an unexpected answer. That's lovely.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I like making wheat starch paste.
Nah, I think I would go for tape as well.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Tape people.
Cool. Mm-hmm.
Especially because for me, again, I'm basically only thinking of applications outside of conservation, actually. I hate it when you get a book and the sticker on the back has the worst adhesive and it's impossible to get off.
Yeah.
You know, when I was a kid, I used to volunteer at the library of the school, and my task was really to put that plastic thing on the cover of books.
I too have done that.
Back plastic.
It's glued onto the. It's stuck onto the.
Yeah, you do that in library.
Cover.
Yeah.
I've done that to hundreds of books. 13 to 18 year old Fedra has done that to hundreds of books.
But you know, I'm sure I don't have a problem with that. You know, if they're just modern books that are in a circulating library and getting heavy use, more people are going to be able to read those books before they fall apart, and they will eventually fall apart. So you're just prolonging that. It's an economical measure.
That's true. That's true. Well, what to make myself feel better, I've said that to myself, and also the fact that, I mean, these books are going to be in the library for the next 20 years or so, and then nobody will want to read them. There's no like original anywhere in there. So.
Yeah. Shout out to the librarians.
Yeah.
If we got any librarians in the audience, please hit us up on Instagram. We'd love to hear from you. I'm just curious to know what like percentage of our community is not conservators or
it's so similar fields. So interesting.
That is true.
Would you rather have super strong hands that never cramp or eyes that never get tired?
Ooh.
Eyes.
Eyes?
This is a tough one. Yeah, eyes. I don't know actually.
I don't know because I did LASIK a couple of years ago, so now I have perfect vision. Because I used to struggle in the microscope with glasses on, especially if I had to wear protective glasses and glasses. Mm. That was a nightmare. So I went for LASIK, and it's a whole new world, guys. I think I would go with cramps in the hands.
I feel like the hands one would be quite useful outside of work, but like rock climbing.
That's true. This, I realize, completely flies in the face of our assurance that everyone should take the breaks that they deserve. Like, don't overwork yourself, guys.
I'm going to have to go with eyes, even though my instinct is to say hands, just because we do, outside of conservation, again, we deal with screens so much in our life. How much longevity do we really have with our eyesight? Can we guarantee?
I'm getting old. I'm
getting old. Listener, she isn't.
Not yet.
This question did get me thinking, what would make me happier? Being able to continue doing things with my hands, but maybe not being able to see as well, or being able to see really well, but maybe struggling with my hands.
I mean, neither is optimal.
You'd find it really hard to keep doing things with your hands if you couldn't see very well.
Yes, whereas if you could see very well but couldn't use your hands, you could be advising. So you'd still be able to progress in your career and do some cool stuff.
True.
Yeah, and I'd still be able to read books.
Are we unanimous on eyesight then?
I don't know.
No, I said hands.
Problems with my I've had problems with my hands as well. Oh, in the past. So I'm like, oh, you know what? I think hands. It is. I love how unintentionally existential this got.
We can't help ourselves.
Yeah.
Would you rather have to develop an adhesive from tree sap or make soap using chimney ash?
I like the tree sap.
Yeah, I'm quite excited about that idea.
Yeah. Tree sap.
Tree sap it is.
Yeah. That's quite exciting. I mean, the soap thing is, I feel like that is how...
That is how soap originally got made. Yeah, using ash and what, lye?
It uses lye,
lime.
Would you rather have the ability to make curators immediately agree with everything you say or the ability to make donors fund every project that you propose?
Money. I'm happy to have a debate with people.
Because then the curators did have to do what we say.
Two for the price of one.
No, it would have to be money. You know, everybody's entitled to their own opinions. No matter how heated the conversation can get.
I mean, I think I'd go money as well, to be honest. That was easy. Would you rather have the power to make any adhesive instantly reversible or the ability to perfectly match any color or material.
I think it's, I guess it's, it gets more complicated depending on the type of color, like a type of dyes that you're using, like with textiles.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Whereas for me, it's quite simple.
Dyeing, I mean, we have a whole episode on dyeing. Yeah. I like how difficult it is. That sounds really sadistic. But I quite like the challenge. I quite like the sort of how much of a finesse you can get with it, you know? Because you're usually only using three colors as well.
See, I hate it. So,
oh, dear.
I do all of my conservation tasks with a great smile on my face until the end painting comes. It's not that I do it badly. It's just that it's really frustrating for me. I don't know why.
Yeah.
We didn't even touch on the adhesive one. We're like,
nah. No, we're all like color.
I mean, I would go with adhesive because I enjoy color matching so much.
There you go.
Mm. I would hate to be able to just click my fingers and have the work done.
Fair enough.
Whereas getting rid of adhesive.
Yeah, I'll take adhesive. Yes. I'll get on board with you. I also enjoy color matching quite a lot.
Yeah. Would you rather freeze pests in time before any damage is done or speak to pests to ask them to leave?
No, I'm going to freeze them. Oh, no, there's a logical reason for this. You can't argue with nature. They're laying their eggs there. Their larvae are going to eat whatever they want. If they're there, they're there. They need to do their thing. It's like saying, hey, you're starving. You see all this nice food around you? Could you not? It's not going to happen.
Just tell them where the other food is.
Yeah,
I'm not sure.
Now,
I'm a basic supervillain.
Myself up to the millions of voices that I'd suddenly be able to hear.
Oh, God.
Oh.
It could be quite overwhelming.
Are you a genie? Like you can you think of the bad thing in everybody's wishes?
Yeah, I don't want any interactions in the first place. I want to avoid any interaction in the first place with any kind of pest. So I'd go for freezing.
Liz?
Yeah. I'm gonna talk to them.
I want to talk to them as well.
Yeah. Maybe they could even turn out to be helpful.
Would you rather have the ability to remove all non-historic dust in one go or summon any missing piece of an object?
I'm gonna have to ask you to clarify what the difference is between historic and non-historic dust. I think I get it, but this is new terminology for me.
I'm gonna say, like, if it's dust from storage or a fire, for example, that is not part of the living history of the object. Mm. But if it's, you know, so-and-so trod on this carpet over 30 years, that's historic dust.
Okay.
Mm.
Just like you said, you love in painting and you wouldn't want it to be made easy for you. I love cleaning.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
Yeah. Yeah. I like taking my time and really looking onto the surface of the object and, thoroughly.
The missing piece would be really annoying.
You'd miss, because when you're cleaning it, you learn a lot about the object.
Mm-hmm. That's true. Yeah.
Plus, if you have missing pieces, then you can create your own infill and inpaint it yourself, Chloe.
Oh, that's true. See, I think I would do the ability to remove non-historic dust, but summon any missing piece of an object that would be great. Yeah.
I shall be a summoner.
Yeah,
I'm gonna. So, Jenny, let's say you can summon the pieces. Do they come to you through the air? Do they just fly towards you? Do you have like some kind of magnet?
I'm just imagining they teleport in, you know, like, oh, and there they are.
So they do come to you. It's not like you realize where they are and you have to go to them.
No, I don't have time for that. That's
But would it be
it's like a Matilda kind of thing?
Yeah, I'm on the same page as Solange. I am hearing what you are saying.
Yeah, would it be ethical to use that missing piece?
move beyond ethics, how would you convince anyone that you were able to find it?
Surely that's not that different from an infill, because they'd just be like, oh, it looks whole now. Yeah, that's it.
They would just trust that you were really, really good.
Yeah.
Because Fedra, when you were asking how it like appears or gets reintegrated into the piece, I was thinking maybe an option would be that it just sort of like Back to the Future style reappears where it was. Ooh, but then you're losing the history and the story behind why it was lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you could true. Really mess with space and time.
That's true. Yeah, that's
no
true.
No time travel.
Yeah. And would there be a breakage? Could you see the breakage if it just reappeared where it was?
No, I think or it would have be to, a I seamless think it would have to be that it's seamless.
See, my assumption here was that the piece would appear, but it wouldn't be attached to the thing. So
that was my assumption as well. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that makes the most sense. But then again, it's like, where do you find this?
You want the piece?
I want the piece. I want to know if it's gone, if it got lost. Do you get to know the story?
Oh, do you want to interrogate it?
Can I talk to the piece?
Maybe the piece comes with a little pest, a little insect that knows its history, and you can talk to it.
It's like
you have an object on your bench. It's very old. Would you like to have a glimpse, to be able to have a glimpse of what it looked like when it was brand new and it had just been made, or a glimpse of the history of the object and who owned it, like its journey through time?
But that would be like written down on paper, like that would just be information, like written, not a visual.
Yeah, like a story.
Okay. Oh, that's
history. History for sure. I don't care what it looks like new, because I'm never gonna put it back to new. That's not my job.
Agree.
Yeah.
Okay.
I do agree with Jenny that to make it look original is not your job. But the problem is, specifically with paintings, the general public always wants to know what did it originally look like.
True.
Yeah.
Unavoidably. And so now I could tell them and get them to shut up about it.
Yeah, I think it depends on the object. There is somewhere you think that would be quite, I'd like to see that, because I don't know what it was, but then other times you can imagine what it would look like.
See, but I got enthused when you asked this question, because I was imagining like a film going past my eyes, but then you mentioned, Liz mentioned written history, and that wasn't as exciting anymore.
Well, originally I had imagined it that way as a visual thing, but then I realized that if you had that, then you wouldn't even need the first option, because you would see
that's true. I just want to touch the object and be able to see its history, read its
mind. That would depend a lot on the object as well, though, given the terrible history that some objects have. Like, there are some things that I don't want to see. Is that a cop-out?
No, not really. I think that's a
sensible point. I do, because so often they don't have a provenance.
True. Yeah, that's true. So you could kind of undo an element of the harm by finding out what the provenance was. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Look at us getting all philosophical.
So your options are, you have to choose one. Invent self-monitoring pest traps. Have, and I'm going to say, produce unbreakable gloves. Or the ability to shrink yourself to inspect objects more closely.
100% the third option.
Yeah, who wouldn't?
It's adorable, but also fraught with danger.
Watch out for spiders.
Getting crushed.
As soon as you said the first one with the self-monitoring pest trap, I was like, she just doesn't want to look inside. I'm going to go with gloves, because there is a boatload of money to be made with that one.
Yeah.
In multiple industries. So I'm going to take that for myself.
Is that though, once everyone has a pair of self Unbreakable gloves, do they need any more?
I think people will still buy more of them, and there's enough people
They still get dirty, right? So as they're broken, they're too contaminated, so you still need them.
True.
It's a business model.
Thank you. We'll go into business together.
Yeah. Those were excellent questions. Well done.
Thank you very much. Thank you for the idea, Solange. You created a lot of entertainment.
Slightly related to me wanting CT scan eyes there for a little bit. I have seen an excellent advent calendar that's on Mastodon.
Ooh.
It's run by Dr. David Mills, who's from our Arduino episode. He's been x-raying things that are Christmas themed in some ways and asking people to identify them based on the image.
Oh my God.
Which has been so much fun so far, and I'm looking forward to the rest of it. It's great.
Brilliant.
It's called X-Ray My Advent, and this is what happens when we get unlimited access to X-ray machines.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Do you have to be on Mastodon to do it?
You can still look at it from afar. So I'm going to link to it. You don't have to have an account or anything. You just can't reply with a guess. But he still tells you next day what it is. So it works out.
Brilliant.
But they're really fun. And some things look really baffling when they're x-rayed. Like Brussels sprouts.
Whoa, yeah.
So in the past, every time we've done a Christmas special, we have done predictions for the year ahead. Like, what would we like to happen? What do we think will happen?
Mm-hmm.
Just like a couple of like rough guesses sort of thing. You know, hopes, predictions for 2025 in this instance. And normally we would also look back on the ones we had done the previous year and go on, did that pan out?
Mm-hmm.
But we didn't have a Christmas special last year, so we're not going to be looking back at anything. But we can still look to the future if anyone fancies.
Mm. Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Who wants to go first?
Let's get into 2025.
Mm.
Oh, man.
So my prediction, I think, is going to happen. I'm even going to get it down to the month. January/February, maybe going into it. I think that we're going to see a lot of news that's a cleaning controversy about Notre Dame.
Ooh.
Spicy.
Because the restoration is beautiful, stunning, but really perfect. Really perfect. To the point where I haven't looked into it, but I feel like there's maybe overpainting involved to make it look as glorious as it does. I don't know. But regardless of like the actual work that goes into it, the public is always really riled up about when things look, even just at first glance, like too perfect. And so I think that we're probably going to be getting some feedback.
Oh, that's fun.
I want to read up on it, actually. I haven't seen the publications yet, but
if
they're out / when they're out, I'm going to be on that.
I predict a lot of repatriations this year.
Oh.
Not coming from the UK.
You astonish me, Fedrin.
No, as someone who works in Cyprus, I have to say I've been impressed this year by the amount of repatriations that were made in Greece and Cyprus, from Italy and the United States and Germany. And thank you very much for that. And I'm very happy to see this trend continue.
That's really cool.
Love it.
That's really nice to hear as well.
Yeah. Well done, guys.
Shall I just be the negative one again with my gloom?
Yes, you can. Yeah. We've predicted natural disasters on this.
Yeah. Gloom. More flooding.
More God.
Disasters.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Good time to be a you know, specialize in disaster preparedness.
Yeah.
In anywhere, any country.
Yeah. There's a lot of water around, isn't there? And then there's no water around, and there doesn't seem to be much of a middle ground.
Yeah. And perhaps maybe more positively, maybe just, everyone being more focused on disaster preparedness in the many facets in which it can present itself.
Yeah, one would hope that would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to do one negative and I'm going to do one positive. The negative being, I think there's going to be a lot of nervousness and big changes in local authority museums across the UK, because at least in England, they've basically, politicians have said that there's going to be big changes in how sort of local authorities and stuff are managed, and a lot of museums are managed on that level, which I think means a very uncertain future for those collections and those people working with those as things go forward. It doesn't have to end badly, but it's more of a, I think it's going to be a slightly rough time. Having worked in those settings, it's always a rough time when anyone announces anything, so it's probably not ideal. But I think it's going to be an interesting time. And on a slightly more positive note, I think we're going to see a lot more uptake of things like carbon literacy and museums going greener and actually doing things like saying no to oil money and doing the right thing for the planet.
I have a prediction that I'm predicting on behalf of myself and Fedra.
What could it be, Fedra?
Nothing that's been on both of our minds.
Our minds? I don't think anymore.
I don't think anymore either. Though I feel like that's just an excuse. I'm like, my partner was like, Chloe, you've always been like this. You can't blame this. I predict that I and overseas Fedra will be spending a lot of time at home next year.
But why?
Because there was clearly something in the water in the spring summertime. We're both pregnant. Oh my god. We're gonna have babies. That's the word. Babies.
Yeah, you are.
Beware.
In quick succession world, as well.
I know, that was kind of freaky actually.
I know,
I think we are about 3 weeks apart, Chloe.
Yeah, you're 3 weeks ahead of me.
And
I'm expecting a little boy to come along.
And me a little girl.
We're twins.
I know. I mean, given the way things go with the later months of pregnancy, we could have a shared birthday. It's perfectly possible.
Who knows?
I might actually share my birthday with my daughter. I don't know.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Because it is a January baby, and I was a January baby. So
you're going to have a very memorable birthday, whatever happens.
Try and make it as far apart as possible, Fedra. Actually,
we all know you have so much control.
Yeah, you need that one damn day.
The mind game. It's all up here.
That's true. Yeah. The interesting part is I will either be able to eat everything I want or eat none of it for my birthday.
Yeah.
I like that.
What are your predictions?
What I think about my birthday as well. Food based.
Yeah. So 100%. Yes, I mean the podcast relevant news is that Fedra and I will be on maternity leave for the next season, season 16. Is that right? Am I the only person that's lost track of what season we're on?
I'm pretty sure it's 16.
Yeah.
16. Yes.
16. Yes.
And return gloriously season 17 in October ish.
If you push yourselves, which you don't have to.
We could take a full year. I'm taking a full year from my day job. But we haven't. I mean, we haven't really full. I'm very lucky. We're quite lucky in the UK. And my workplace is doing super well with this.
That sounds nice.
Oh dear.
Yeah,
but Fedra is also getting time off.
Yes, some. About half of Chloe's, but
Not all of it's paid, I should say. I'm gonna need to be getting back to dancing in the autumn.
Congratulations to both of you, by the way.
Yes.
Congratulations from all of us at the C Word.
Thank you. It's very exciting.
I mean, this isn't the first time we've actually heard about it.
No, we know.
You know, so we have already been excited. if we get excited enough, it's because this isn't a surprise to us.
Yeah, pretend harder, guys. Come on.
I'm surprised by how quickly it's gone, the time.
Oh, God.
There is that.
Same. I lose track of time. I lose track of time. I never know.
To you, it feels slow, I guess, but to us, it's like,
no. Oh. It's actually going really fast for me, and I lose track of what week I'm in. I have no idea. Actually, Chloe keeps reminding me instead. I'd like to apologize to the listeners here for the pregnancy brain that has been going on this this season, especially on my part.
Completely allowed.
Completely allowed. And unnoticed as well.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, so that's our prediction.
Yes.
Another prediction. I predict that I will meet Fedra and the baby.
Yay! Oh, when are you going again? Prediction.
March, April.
Oh!
Yay!
Poor Fedra, she's going to be like, I don't want to see anyone.
I'll be like, please take me out of the house, you know? Yeah. Let's leave, let's leave the child and my husband behind for hours.
That we can do.
Excellent predictions, guys. That was really good.
Have a beautiful love Christmas. You all.
This feels really abrupt. I love you all.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
If you're still trying to get into the Christmas spirit, I would like to remind you that we have a special playlist on YouTube with all of our past Christmas songs. Every year so far, although not this year because I ran out of energy and inspiration, we've been doing spoof songs or conservation or museum twists on popular Christmas songs. So we've got a whole back catalogue for you to listen to as you're finishing up work this year and trying to get in the mood. Check out our YouTube channel in the show notes. A huge thank you to everyone who's listened this year. Thank you so much for being with us. And we hope you have a really good Christmas or festive season, whatever that means to you. A special thank you, of course, to our patrons. Anyone who joins us on Patreon helps support the show because we do this unpaid. And it makes such a big difference to have you guys on Patreon. Thank you so much. If you fancy having a look at supporting us on there, you can go to patreon.com/thecword. Thanks for listening. We're The C Word, and you've been listening to Chloe, Fedra, Solange, Liz, and me, Jenny. Join us next season for more great content. Also keep an eye on our social media as we might be recruiting for some maternity covers. In between seasons, you can check out our website at thecword.show, email us at thecwordpodcast@gmail.com, or go find us on social media. We're on almost everything. The intro and outro music is Spring by Didi Music, used under Creative Commons Attribution License. As always, this has been a Wooden Dice production.
It actually reminds me, I went around to some statues when I was in Montreal, and one of them, somebody had gone and painted all the nails and toenails with glitter, which I was fine with. God. I thought it was cute.
That's actually really cool. I mean, technically vandalism, but I'm also here for it.
Yeah, it's like sleigh vandalism.
Yeah.